From the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. Yeah. It's Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man. It's Tuesday, February 21st. We're almost done with February. We're getting close to spring. You might be confused because it already feels like summer.
It's like 60 degrees the last 3 days.
Yeah, yeah, it got up to 75 over the weekend.
Also, you know you're in for a great show when it starts with, eh.
No, we got an explosive show for you here tonight. We're going to talk about some very, very serious things, and you might turn yourself off already and go, I don't want to hear about serious things. But I beg of you, stay with us. Listen. Stay a while.
You might get to hear me talk about John Wick if I'm lucky.
And you might hear Allie talk about, you know what?
What?
I don't know what.
I don't know what.
Here's your panel for tonight. As always, we got myself, Mr. 100. Asa Gray is the five-star man. He's down at the end of the table.
I am.
And then Allie, still not actually a bear.
Hello.
Is to my right.
I just want that to keep like growing and expanding. Absolutely, positively, still 100% not
a bear.
And that's like, that's like the 3-year anniversary show. Just the
because she doesn't have the charisma needed, like that guy who was a bear in D&D, who fooled everybody. That was a good story. Look that one up. I don't have it. I wish Hunter or Jesse or Branham or anyone else was here.
The TLDR of that is a guy role plays his character and he dumps all of his points into his charisma and his bluff. But he's just a bear.
He's literally a bear.
So he can't talk to people. He can't, you know, he's not a human. But he rolls all of these bluff checks to make people think that they're communicating with him. And then, and he goes for like a year in this campaign, just like, they just think he's a person. No one realizes he's a bear. And he ends up becoming like a duke or something, some sort of title. And finally, one of the people playing finally rolls a check enough to beat it. And he's like, hey, that guy's a bear. And the bear then has his guards escort him outside because he's clearly a crazy person.
He's not a man.
All through
he's a chicken boo.
All through gestures and bear growls, I guess.
I mean, a large man would be confusing. Before we get to the topics tonight, I got something I just real quick want to say. Over the weekend, I've talked about this before, and I'm not going to stay long on this because I'm beating a dead horse at this point. Over the weekend during Trump's rally in Florida, he said something, or actually he tweeted this, and this is probably the worst thing that I keep talking about this war on the media. Mm-hmm. And you probably already saw this tweet. He called the press. He said, you're not my enemy. You're the enemy of the American people. Donald Trump said that the press was the enemy of the American people, which is just dangerous. And I am here to ask the people that are listening out there that if any of you are buying into that propaganda, I ask you to please do your research and look at the things that he is saying, because it's absolutely untrue. Support the media, support the press. Without a press, we can't keep liars in check. John McCain said something on CNN that I want to read real quick that it nails it right on the head. And then that's all I'll say. But again, I just implore you all to not buy into the propaganda that the press is a liar and the enemy of the American people. No, lies are the enemy of the American people. And we're going to talk about a couple of those later, Asa.
Yay.
Yeah. Here's what John McCain said. Let me see.
Spoiler alert. His voting record doesn't back it up.
Yeah.
Coward.
Well, that part of the article is talking about how John McCain has become such an adversary to the president, yet does not vote against his agenda. That's
yeah,
it. That's
he's
in the
a coward.
Article. Yeah. Well, no, he was running for, he was trying to preserve a spot. The article says now that his spot is secure, now he's going to go after him. Mm-hmm. I'll believe it when I see it. But he did say something that is true. He said, if you want to preserve democracy as we know it, you have to have a free and many times adversarial press. Without it, I'm afraid we would lose so much of our individual liberties over time. That's how dictators get started.
Yeah. And so what does that make you voting strictly along your party lines?
A Republican?
To keep his way going. Because
well, I don't have an answer for that.
He didn't vote against Betsy DeVos.
No, he did not.
Which now there's a bill being written to just abolish the Department of Education.
He only voted against one person. I think it was the
one that everyone else voted against.
It was like a financial thing, and it's
One where the Department of Labor guy who has
documented. This is a different guy, and this guy actually got confirmed. Even with McCain voting against him, he got confirmed. And I don't disagree with you that he hasn't. He hasn't put his money where his mouth is at all. My God, how many times have we said on the show, how frustrated have I gotten with people like him and Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham
who talk big. It's wonderful to get your nice headline.
Yeah.
And then, but because headlines are easy, you can just make a blanket statement. You get a headline.
You can make things up like the Wall Street Journal.
You know what they don't do is they don't publish your actual voting record, which they should, because no one if it's not presented in a nice little soundbite, no one cares enough to really look into it.
I think
so. They just assume you're, you know, going along with what you say.
And that's where it's important that the press points out things like this. It's important where the press points out all of the things that are either lies or are misleading, like John McCain, where John McCain may say things that sound good and you might go,
this
well,
is how
good.
Dictators get started.
Someone's finally standing up
fully
to Trump.
Fully supports a dictator then. Is that the message you're sending? Or?
Well, let's see what happens now that he apparently has his spot secure. Because if he does start voting against President Trump, if he does become a thorn in the side, then that does nothing to his credit. That just means that he's a pancake.
Yeah.
He flips and flops whenever the situation calls for it. But don't let that fact take away that what he said is absolutely true.
Oh, no, it is.
Yeah, like I didn't do this so we could bash John McCain. And I truly believe that John McCain deserves bashing in so many ways. He is phony.
According to Donald Trump, a real soldier wouldn't have gotten caught.
Donald Trump.
A real hero wouldn't have gotten caught.
He prefers the ones that don't get caught.
Yeah, that's
what it was. Is what he says. Allie, you look like that's not ridiculous enough for you. I agree with you, Asa. I have a real problem.
He's right. This is how dictator, like, when the
look
state
at any
controls
dictatorship.
The media.
Yes.
Look
exactly.
at what's hanging in the wall of the Holocaust Museum of how to spot fascism.
Yeah.
And it's like Donald Trump's using that as his personal to-do list.
It's frustrating because you would think, well, why do you guys keep talking about that? That makes, okay, yeah, obviously. You say that, but if you saw his rally in Florida and you saw how many people cheered when he said, I'm going to tell you the truth. The news is fake. The media is a liar. And people are cheering. That's dangerous because that is not true. And I wish people had the common sense to actually look through the lies.
It's just the party system.
Let me tell you a person that I'm going to get on the show. I'm going to get on the show in the next week or so and talk to him about it. And that's Tanner Calvert. Because Tanner is a Republican. He is a lifelong Republican who has now caught the aggression of the Republican, his Republican friends and family, because he disagrees with Donald Trump. Tanner is a guy that part of the reason he left the show, even though it's unconfirmed, it's pretty obvious, left the show because we bashed Donald Trump so hard. But Tanner, to his credit, has criticized Donald Trump everywhere that he deserves to be criticized. Tanner posted things this week that got him in trouble with people he knows. And I want to get Tanner on the show, and I want to ask a Republican, because for us it's easy.
I really wanted
We've
to
always hated him.
I really wanted to like have Tanner's back on those because he was trying to be very, you know, well-spoken and polite and professional,
yes.
And that same courtesy was not returned to him
by
these people who are his family and friends, and I very much wanted to like come to his defense. But I knew it would just get ugly because
you don't know those people for one.
Because I don't know I don't know the people. And two, like,
it didn't feel like your spot.
It didn't feel like my spot, and I just felt like I would be doing Tanner a disservice in doing that.
Right.
Because, you know, it's, don't go bashing anybody because
Tanner loves his family.
Yeah.
Tanner loves his family and friends very much, and we all have family and friends that we disagree with politically. But I find it fascinating that Tanner, being a Republican, is now, it's like they took his card away.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, they call him names. They look at him like scum. And I want to know what Tanner's thoughts are on that. I've been talking to Tanner. We're going to get him on the show. Might not be on a Thursday, but at some point I may even do a special. But I really want to talk to Tanner about that. I just realized that I don't have my note that I handed you. So Asa, you had a couple nice things you wanted to say about John Wick while I go look for this. Please continue.
Don't, take your time while you're going. So I got out of the theater today.
I didn't find it.
You see, he's looking real hard. If anyone follows me on Twitter at the 5-star man, you'll have seen my tirade of how glorious and wonderful the film John Wick Chapter 2 is. If you haven't seen the first one,
Allie,
Redbox it. Rent it at whatever. There might still be video stores. I know we have Family Video here in Cape Girardeau. Yeah.
Get the Laserdisc.
Buy it digitally. Just go buy it because it's a great action movie.
It really is. We can all agree on that.
You'll watch the first movie and you're like, wow, that everything kind of is cleaned up in a nice little bow. And then I was very pessimistic when I heard they were doing a second one. I'm like, it seems like a cash grab. Like, do they have another story to tell?
Right.
Oh, yeah, they do. They got a bunch of them, and it's awesome, and I love it. And it's the action is amazing. The choreography, the fight choreography between the hand-to-hand and the gunplay is some of the best I think I've ever seen.
Better than The Matrix?
Yeah.
I only ask, Keanu Reeves, obviously, the gun-fu that came from The Matrix.
You know who's in John Wick Chapter 2?
Who?
Lawrence Fishburne.
Really?
You might know as Morpheus in The Matrix.
Is Kevin Nash back?
No.
Oh, that would have been great.
Unfortunately,
that would have been great.
That would have been great. But yeah, I saw it to steal the nerd up formula, full price.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You do need to see the first one to really understand what's going on. But the thing that I love the most about it is just, I've heard people talk about this with Mad Max Fury Road. that I personally saw a little bit of, but not to this extent mm-hmm. that I'm seeing now with John Wick. Like, there's this stuff just happening in the background that you take as, oh no, yeah, this makes sense. There's this weird, you know, the hotel, the Continental.
The shadow world.
There's this weird shadow world with, like, there's coins and tokens and there's all this weird stuff that kind of just happens. It's normal to them, but I want to know everything else about this. Like, there's just this underground, like, Harry Potter-esque, I think is how Chris Hardwick put it in The Nerdist, like, just underground world of these mafia, hitmen, mob, whatever, criminals.
Right.
That I need more. Like, I want chapter 3 out now because they set it up in a way that, whereas chapter 1, it could have just been there. Well, we've told our story. If it doesn't do well enough, we won't get a sequel, but we're happy with that standalone.
Right.
Chapter 2 was definitely told with, this is a longer series going forward.
And let me say, what I love about the first one is the simplicity of the plot. Or so you think.
Just it's, and at face value, that's really what it is. It's a tale of vengeance.
A guy who loses someone he loves and he goes for vengeance. Mm-hmm. But then you see the hotel and the coins and the code and stuff like that. And in so many movies, they throw stuff like that in there and it feels so forced. Mm-hmm. It feels so forced. They're like, oh, we're trying to make this interesting. So here's all this stuff. But with John Wick, it was so subtle and well done that it felt just natural. Yeah, it just felt natural. I can't wait to see part 2. I need to show Ali part 1 first. I really do, because it's just an amazing action movie. Yeah. And really, this might sound weird, because not a lot of action movies can really get you in the heartstrings, but John Wick did.
Yeah, no.
From the beginning.
I've had multiple people tell me that they cried.
Yeah.
But it's also the first eighth of the movie is a tearjerker.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's where feelings happen. But then that's what makes the last 7/8 just, yay. Justice. Not justice at all. It's like if Punisher was awesome. I love you. The face just dropped.
Well. I'm glad you guys tuned in.
This is the final episode.
Final episode. I mean, John Wick is kind of like if the Punisher... I can't spoil it. I don't want to say anything.
No, but
you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Because it really is. It's very Punisher-esque, and it is amazing.
It's what the Punisher should have been.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get on a whole Punisher tangent. We got some time. If you go back and watch that first Punisher movie with Thomas Jane, I really like that movie. The problem I had with it is that he was so intricate in his revenge, mm-hmm. where he was, you know, oh, I'm setting up little traps, and I'm going to fool John Travolta and killing his own wife. John Wick was very much just, kill, kill, kill anyone that gets in my way when I'm going after this one guy. Mm-hmm. So it felt more like a Punisher movie than the Punisher.
Now, John Wick 2 does have a sequence where he plans ahead.
Which is fine. It's just, you guys always...
And it's so, like, you see him kind of doing these things, and you're like, oh, what's going on? And then it happens, and as it's going, you're just like, oh, yeah, oh, I forgot about that. Like,
the thing, you guys always talk about how... A big part of the Batman is that he doesn't kill people. Mm-hmm. And so when you see him kill people on screen, that's jarring. Well, same thing with the Punisher. It's the opposite. He does kill people. That's mm-hmm. all he does. He's not the kind of guy that sets traps generally. So, I mean, he has, but I mean, mm-hmm. his mantra is shoot everything that moves.
Right.
So I feel like Keanu Reeves did a better Punisher than they've done for the Punisher.
I need you to see this movie because I want to talk to you about it.
I need to see it. Honestly, we didn't watch it. You know what we watched over the weekend? The Great Wall.
Oh, is that Matt Damon one that's bombing?
No. Oh, that's a shame because it was actually pretty good.
Oh, is it?
It was. We had a fun time with it.
There's a thing that irks me, and we talked about it on Nerd Up before with like the casting of the Great One in Doctor Strange,
which is Tilda Swinton, right?
Yeah. In just the whole, and it kind of bums me out with I'm playing Neo, like the savior of China is a white guy.
And you know,
like, and I don't mean that in like the social justice warrior.
Yeah, no.
Like, it's just like you really couldn't have had.
I mean, the frustrating part is Constance Wu. Do you know who Constance Wu is?
Mm-hmm.
She criticized the movie heavily before it came out and said that she found it offensive that this white guy was the reason they built the Great Wall of China, which one isn't true. That's not the plot of the movie. The plot of the movie is they're basically two Westerners who are trying to find the secret to gunpowder.
Mm-hmm.
So their plan is to steal the gunpowder from the Chinese and get away with it. Meanwhile, they find the Chinese have been fighting this war against these creatures for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't really do anything other than help them fight. Like, he is not the savior.
The savior is actually a woman. Chinese woman.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's just the way that the movie is marketed.
It's marketed as The Last Samurai. Tom Cruise saves the Japanese, or the Mexican with Brad Pitt. I got a movie for you.
It's like a...
We'll call it The Last... Nope. Not going to do it. You know where I was going.
Like Neo is... They... I knew very little about the story going in, but it's actually, even though it takes place mostly in Japan,
You kept saying Neo, and I kept thinking, like, well, what's wrong with Keanu Reeves?
No.
I just got, you're talking about the PS4 game.
The PS4
Neo.
Game, N-I-O-H.
Sorry.
So with Neo, it's actually, even though it takes place in Japan and all the marketing is like, oh, look at, you know, samurais and demons and that kind of lore, it's actually about these two British guys who are striving to find this one thing that happens to be in Japan for the sake of the British and Spanish Empire.
Right.
So it's
kind of similar to the Great Wall,
yeah,
actually.
To where, but where you're just marketed as, oh, here's a white guy just slaying a bunch of samurai demons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I recommend the Great Wall though, if you get a mm-hmm. chance to watch it. I don't know if I would, we saw it in IMAX mm-hmm. because I've never been to an IMAX movie before and I really did enjoy it. IMAX alone is incredible. If you've never been to an IMAX movie, it's really shattering.
The second time I saw The Dark Knight was in IMAX.
I really wish I had seen Star Wars in IMAX because I think that would have been incredible. Like Rogue One or Force Awakens, because the first time I watched Force Awakens, I really liked it. I still don't hate it.
Right.
But Rogue One really blew it out of the water.
It did.
So with The Last Jedi, we might see about seeing that in IMAX. Yeah. You know, something spectacular. All right. I have one more story real quick. I said I was going to tell this. So I spent a huge chunk of today trying to get a computer. Let me just tell you what happened with this computer. So Lonnie, I struck a deal with Lonnie last night. And I'm going to trade him a small chunk of my vast collection for this $1,000 computer because I want to get back into desktop, PC gaming because I'm home more now. There's more a likelihood of me being home more in the future. So I want to get back into that. My laptop's great. It's what we filmed the show on, but it just doesn't have quite the raw power that I want, you know, because mm-hmm.
You're a power guy.
I'm a power bottom when it comes to PCs. So we strike a deal.
What's the bottom part mean, Shannon?
He's going to order this thing, and we make the deal last night, and I first went through an ordeal just trying to sell this laptop. Longer story, we'll ignore. He said he's going to order it. I wake up this morning. I get a text at 8 a.m. says, hey, call me, or let me know when you're in the store. I need to call you. I already know what it's about because it's what else would it be about?
Right.
So he forgot to order it last night. He fell asleep. Now the item that I wanted went up $80 because the sale was off. So he wanted to know, do I still want it? And I said, yes, that's fine. I don't care. Like, whatever. I really want this PC. Cause I have this habit of when I see something electronic and I fall in love with it, I have to have it. Like the Xbox One, the Gears mm-hmm. one. That's why I don't have a PS4 anymore. So he says, okay, I'll order it. The day goes on. He hasn't ordered it. He finally goes to order it. It's unavailable in Cape. So I think, okay, well, maybe it's just they don't have enough in stock to show it online. So we go to Best Buy at 3:30, me and him and John Henson. Who is a friend of mine. And I do you know John?
Yeah, we've met.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He tries to help us out. The computer is unavailable. He says, well, we can order it for you and have it shipped to the store in 2 days. And the sale price is still on the slip. Mm-hmm. So we get the sale price. I'm like, cool, that's fine, whatever, 2 days, whatever. He goes to order it. It's unavailable, completely unavailable. So I go, okay, well, what about the other version that's an i5 instead of an i7? Can you order that? He's like, oh, yeah, we don't have any here, but I should be able to order it. So he looks. Yeah, we can order that for you. Do you want that? And that's fine. So he goes to order it, gets through all of the procedure. At the very end, it's unavailable. Can't ship, can't pick it up. Apparently, Best Buy has neither of these two items in any of their stores or their warehouse. At which point I say, why do you have them on display? Can I buy the display one? I can't sell displays. Then I would take the display down because you're going to fool some people into thinking they're going to get a computer today. So now there's another guy coming over helping us, and this takes like 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting there stewing because I knew this was going to happen because that's just my luck when mm-hmm. it comes to electronics.
I wouldn't say it's your luck as much as just someone didn't do something they said they were going
to
do. But
well, to be fair, they didn't have it to begin with. Like mm-hmm. this, even if he had tried to order it last night, it wouldn't have worked because mm-hmm. they just don't have it. They find another one that is actually a little better. And it's cheaper because it's on a super sale. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I'll take that. And they're like, well, do you want to just have it shipped here? Fine. We have it by Friday. Fine. I'll take it by Friday. I'm trying to be nice because I like John. He's a friend of mine. Well, he goes to order it. It's unavailable to ship. Why can't you ship it? I don't know. I don't make Best Buy's rules. Where is it? It's in Carbondale. I'll go there. Just put the order in. Are you sure? Yes. So then I drive an hour to Carbondale to get this damn computer, which I have now, and it's at home updating. So I want to say hashtag thanks for nothing, John. I appreciate.
You could have gotten Don Taco. I'm gonna make things better.
Yeah, except I was driving at night with one headlight and one taillight.
Yeah,
Shannon ain't stupid. He knows that's bad news. So that's my saga. When we're done with the show, I'm gonna go home and mess with the computer some more.
It's not the first. I've driven to Carbondale as opposed to waiting for. Well, I mean, it said it wouldn't ship for you, but. They could have shipped mine, but I was like, I'll just go.
Well, eventually,
I'm not a patient man.
I found out afterwards that the other guy comes up and he tells John, what are you talking about? We can do a store-to-store transfer. He's like, really? He's like, yeah, it's not a problem. And then they look at me and they're like, well, do you want to wait or do you want to go get it? And I'm not angry.
You're just ready to leave.
I'm just ready to leave. You've been there too long. I will go get it. I will drive and get it.
You have let me down. You have raised my hopes and dashed them too many times.
The other part is that because I had to go buy it in Illinois, tax exempt doesn't work. That's why I had to pay tax on it. So Lonnie said, you know, it's going to be an extra $80 or you can wait a couple days. I would advise you to do that so you save money. And I was like, nope, I'm going to go get it. I'll pay the extra $80. Because I was defiant at that point. When I get in a mood, you know.
You're getting that computer.
Getting that computer. All right. Speaking of computers, you know what's on a computer? YouTube.
And lots of other things.
Really?
You know what else is on computers?
What?
John Wick. You could probably rent it digitally, maybe able to buy it.
There's some streaming service.
There's that ultraviolet service that movies just give you a free copy.
That's true.
I don't think I've ever used that.
I have, in the sense that I've given it to Zach Kurgis, and he's redeemed every single one of them. If I get a movie, Zach gets a movie. That's the rule.
Nice.
Allie, you...
I think I put Batman on my computer for if I ever traveled, I could just watch it on my computer.
The 1980s Tim Burton film?
Trilogy.
Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Also saw Lego Batman today.
Is it good?
It's really good.
It's really
That's
funny.
What we were going to go see.
But it wasn't in IMAX.
Yeah. So we'll go see that eventually. Back to YouTube. We were going to talk about this a little bit on Thursday. We didn't get a chance because I spent so much time talking about Donald Trump and Michael Flynn and those things. PewDiePie, if you've been following the story, he's in a lot of hot water still about his joke that went too far, where he paid a couple of guys on Fiverr.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
The Fiverr service.
To hold up a sign that said death to all Jews and then
subscribe to
Keemstar. Mm-hmm. Which the Wall Street Journal, and we talked about this on the show, that the Wall Street Journal was the first one to post it. They went to PewDiePie's sponsors. Mm-hmm. They got his deal with Disney pulled. Mm-hmm. They got his show pulled. They got all kinds of things. It's just bad for PewDiePie. Yeah.
So his premium show got canceled, and then Maker is his studio, which is owned by Disney, dropped him.
Yeah. And tonight's all about free speech, pretty much. The entire show is about free speech. It's going to be heavy on it tonight. We're talking about this and then another thing later. H3H3
yeah.
put out a video in defense of PewDiePie, saying he's my friend. He took a joke too far and took people like the Wall Street Journal really to task for the way they presented this. And I have a twofold problem with this. Mm-hmm. Which one do you want to tackle first? It's a joke or the way it was presented?
Start with it's a joke, just because I do feel like he was very poorly, represented by the media. PewDiePie was.
Yeah.
Cause we even talked about it last week, like, and we had no idea what was going on, like, all we knew was
fresh
from the articles that we were reading.
It was fresh. There wasn't a lot of information in defense of PewDiePie out there at the time.
Because even I was just reading from these articles. Like, I hadn't done as much research as I should have done if we were talking about it on the show. You know, like, he's had these other visuals happen on.
Truth time. The only reason I brought up PewDiePie on the show was because I really thought the Valentine's Day thing was going to go the entire show.
Mm-hmm.
And when it didn't, I panicked. And I'm like, what is there? What is there?
Did you see what's in the news?
Oh, PewDiePie.
What's in the news?
I planned on talking about this. the information wasn't out there at the time. We've studied it more now. And the H3H3 production video in defense of PewDiePie, I will say that I agree with the defense. I do. Because we'll get to the way they presented it later. That's the real problem with it.
Yeah.
But the whole... it's a joke. You people need to stop being so serious.
Right.
Thing. I hate when people say that, because people say that about certain things and then other things they get upset about. And you can't have it both ways. Either jokes are permitted for everything or jokes are not permitted for anything critical. You can't pick and choose. It's like the Bible. You can't pick and choose which things you follow. You either are okay with free speech humor or you're against it. Don't pick and choose your battles.
Right.
That's the problem I had with that.
And I think too, like, one of the problems that I had with H3H3's video, Ethan saying that, you know, people are being offended for people that aren't offended. So like, I'm not offended by this as a Jewish person. I'm not offended. So why are you taking up this mantle for me? And the thing that irks me about that is because, well, you're not a spokesman for all Jewish people. There is no such thing. Like, certain people may see it and be like, no, that's terrible.
If it's not Paul Heyman, it's nobody.
Right. <You know? laughs> So I didn't care for that line, but he's absolutely right. Like,
but you know,
because the big point from his video, as well as PewDiePie's response video, because he also posted a response video that was interesting to watch, is that context matters. And it does. Before the show, we were talking about it, and Allie put it very well, that Disney is still very well within their right to, even though it was a joke and there was no malicious intent behind it, they want to distance themselves from that sort of imagery and humor.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's joking or because
it could hurt their brand,
sincere,
and they have to worry about their brand.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take an example of, say, Double H or Dalton, who have to be very careful about appearing on these shows or working with us simply because they are in fields. They don't want to get in trouble.
That it the content that they associate with matters.
Right. And let me just go back to one thing you said earlier, because I found that I didn't think of it. And when you said it, it really struck a chord with me. When you said he doesn't, you know, his argument of you're being offended for people who aren't offended, like you don't have to take up the mantle for me because I'm Jewish. That seems to fly in the face of what you hear so much of people that don't understand white privilege, that don't understand the things that are happening to other people.
Right.
You can't have it as if you're not understanding it, you're part of the problem and you need to get better about it versus no, don't worry about us. We're not offended. Like, which is it? As a straight white male, am I supposed to be offended for people when I see injustice, or am I supposed to ignore it because I'm not the person they're catering to? Like, I'm seriously asking.
It's one of those things where it's almost like humans are this complex
thing
where everyone has their own personalities and thoughts and reactions to things. So, I mean, I understand where he's coming from. Like, I do.
I do too.
Like, especially if he means it in the sense strictly for himself.
Right.
Like, you know, if he has his followers or, you know, Twitter followers, YouTube followers coming to him like, oh, we're going to unsubscribe from PewDiePie. We're going to block him on Twitter. We're really going to, you know, push this narrative for you. He's like, whoa, no.
I don't care.
I don't want that. That's not, you know, don't do that for me. But, you know, if there is someone who is offended and they, you know, it's a messy thing. Human emotions and sensibilities are complex and difficult. Yes.
That's why it's always easier to just not talk about the things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think for a very long time, stuff like this and controversial topics, most people, we just didn't talk about it. It was a dirty little secret.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people that want to go back to that. Like, and this isn't the later thing. No, I'm talking about mostly older people. People that see injustice and go, well, that's the way it was. Why are we talking about it?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also important to talk about it because maybe someday you can put an end to that injustice.
It's just the way it's always been.
Yeah.
That's just the way it's always been. It's fine.
That's not fine. It wasn't fine then. You just didn't talk about it as much.
Or even didn't realize it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because think of how many like older relatives or friends or acquaintances or relatives of friends who it's like, oh yeah, so my old neighbor said this really just terrible thing, but he meant it in like a friendly manner.
Yeah. Yeah,
just like they just don't get that.
Or my mother. No, yeah. My mother, God bless her, God rest her soul, when I was dating an African-American girl, and she would say things like, you know, her people or those people can sing and stuff like that. My mom was not racist,
right,
as far as I know. But things like that, now the younger generations, we look at stuff like that and go, that's offensive in itself. Mm-hmm. You don't refer to a certain set of people as those people.
Right.
You know,
or a individual person as a member of those people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like,
because that is terrible.
Yeah.
And I know my mom didn't mean it that way.
Right. But it's just, that's how she grew up.
That's how she grew up. I had a point to make there and then I told Lassa. I was going to say, I kind of feel PewDiePie's pain, not so much as pain, but I understand because me has said a lot of things on this show and various shows here on Podzilla that I take humor too far. You guys have all, you've heard me. You've been frustrated with me before because I'll say a word or I'll reference something that is offensive. And I got fired from GameStop for the same thing, for making a joke that was offensive. And what I understand now is that, and Allie's going to make this point because she's absolutely right, that I had the absolute right to say what I say, but I also have to face the consequences of what is said.
Mm-hmm.
Allie, you had a point about that I want you to make.
Well, that you freedom of speech, you can say whatever you want, but if you are working under someone that doesn't agree with what you're saying, they have the right to take you out of it. If you are putting out imagery that they don't want put out there because it could hurt their business, what they're trying to do,
right,
they have a right to tell you no.
Yeah.
And it's up to you as a person to know what you're putting out there.
Right.
Because maybe what you're putting out there, even if it is a joke or if it is lighthearted to you and to the people that know it, it can be twisted in negative ways.
Yeah.
And you, as a person, you can do whatever you want that way, but be aware of the consequences that might happen and what you could be initially doing to other people.
And not only that, but you know, there's a frontier that we haven't yet crossed for a lot of people of, who can get away with saying what. You look at a guy like George Carlin or Lenny Bruce, mm-hmm. A lot of the guys that, you know, huge comedians mm-hmm. and said whatever they wanted.
Louis C.K. That first, like, I don't remember, it's from a few years ago, but his stand-up special is just, the first 5 minutes is dedicated to just a variety of slurs.
I remember he had the N-word.
It's very well done.
Yeah.
It's hard to say it's tasteful, given what it's about, the content matter. But it's context. But it is.
It's context, which is. A lot of the offensive things that I say on the show are, I've said before, it's to take mm-hmm. the power away from the things that are said. I don't say the N-word on the show because I want to be racist. I find the word to be, I mean, I know it's a painful word, but I find the way people use it to be laughable, like that you would use that word against somebody.
You use it mockingly.
Mocking the people that do it.
Of the people who use it maliciously.
But here's the thing, you know, the difference between me and PewDiePie, mm-hmm. there's a bunch, but the biggest ones is that he's not owned, but he has a sponsor. He has guys that pay him, Disney and Maker, who sponsor him, who pay him to put out content. And like Ali said, they absolutely can go, no, we don't want that image with our product. Us, we don't have that limitation here. That's part of the reason I like doing this podcast. And we can say whatever we want, and we don't have to answer to anybody.
Except for, like, people listening. Like, yeah. If we do a show and all of a sudden, like, we're just getting a bunch of backlash from stuff, like, okay, if we want to continue doing this, you know, successfully, then
we have to adapt.
We have to adapt.
Also, the fact that with some of our shows, we have dialed back language.
We have.
We've done this type of thing. Just that was our decision because of the product we wanted to make. And then we have the new Thursday show where you even advertise it mm-hmm. as uncensored. And you have the beginning part where you warn the listeners and
with the adult theme music.
Yeah. And so it's the other shows are directed towards one audience and that one is directed towards another. And the audiences can cross and then it's.
Because that's something like with Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Yeah.
Like, towards the beginning of what we do now, like with the current lineup, it started a little
risque,
a little bit bluer.
Yeah.
And I'm very prideful of what the show has kind of evolved into.
Agreed.
Of just like, you know, we give our opinions, we give news, like
it. Well, just the shows in general. I feel we've matured. Mm-hmm. If you go back and listen to those first episodes, it's very much the Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
And we were making each other laugh.
Yeah.
Which was fine. But now that this has turned into a global entity where people listen to us from all over the world, mm-hmm. what did you always say?
Local references get you local listeners.
Exactly. So we've matured enough that we could spread our message out. We can still be entertaining.
And we still,
without following the traps of, oh, say the F word. Oh, say the N word. That'll shock them.
Yeah. And I mean, we're still constantly laughing during these shows. We're still entertaining each other, which otherwise we wouldn't be doing this at all.
Exactly.
But to kind of rewind all the way back to the second point for that, H3H3 Productions video on PewDiePie, like, the context is very much important. He highlighted a spot where he played the Wall Street Journal's YouTube.
Yeah, this is the other part. This is the other part we're going to talk about.
The Wall Street Journal's YouTube page, where they did the video story on PewDiePie, including a segment from a video PewDiePie uploaded where he's dressed in Nazi-ish
military
uniform,
and
watching Hitler speeches and kind of like smiling and nodding. What they don't show, as he points out, is the like 45 seconds before that, where PewDiePie flat out says, in a video that's titled, I'm racist? He says, this is what the media would thinks of me now. Like, this is how they're advertising me. They're taking all of these things that I'm doing out of context, and like, so this is what they're showing people that I am. And then the Wall Street Journal literally took that out of context to show them that that's what he is.
Because it's damaging. It's damning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is the, you know, that I hate to say this, but that is the kind of fake news reporting mm-hmm. that you need to watch out for, is that stuff that's so slanderous and dangerous, because it can present a false image of someone that can ruin their lives.
And like Ethan said on it, you know, oh, you have to subscribe to their newsletter. So I wonder if their sensationalist, widespreading headlines have anything to do with monetary gain.
which most of it is. You know, I've always, mm-hmm. for me to defend media and you know, journalism, mm-hmm. it's tough for me because for the longest time, I've always said that I'm anti-media.
Clickbait.
I'm anti, yeah, because clickbait, the fact that it's all about ratings and stuff like that. We love listens here, but we would do the exact same stuff even if no one, if we had seven listeners or, you know, thousands.
We did.
Exactly. So it's not that important to me, but.
Mine is just kind of cleaning it up a little bit and refining what we have.
Yeah.
This gives media a bad name. This gives journalism a bad name because it was a terrible story. We watched the video. It's so inflammatory and, mm-hmm. and misleading. Mm-hmm. And so much of news and journalism is misleading. And that is what Donald Trump is talking about. But he does it while pointing the finger at literal news organizations that are trying to report facts.
Yeah.
So you can't bunch this stuff together. You can't bunch Breitbart and the New York Times together. It's different. And Wall Street Journal, you can't. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff on the Wall Street Journal that's good.
Right.
Like, I'm sure they report very well and they have great stories. But something like this really makes them look terrible.
Gives them a black eye.
And then it ruins PewDiePie's career, possibly.
So what people need to do as readers and listeners is if it's a reasonable source, they're going to cite where they're getting their information from. Go to that original source.
Watch
the original video.
Yeah.
Figure out where the original clip came from and get the full context.
Yeah, because it's very easy to take a soundbite and turn it terrible.
Right.
And you know, I hate to do it, but in defense of someone like Donald Trump, a lot of what he says sounds so inflammatory when you take one single part of it. But there are things he says that in context of the rest of the
dialogue. But the problem is, yeah, when you lump everything in together contextually and you read the entire speech,
well, then it's terrible just as still.
Bad.
Yeah. But, you know, he might say something that it's a headline suddenly, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, that sounds awful. But then when you read that, he also said this, and it's not so bad. Yeah, he's still a terrible speaker first. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you really have to be careful about clickbait and the media trying to trick you.
Because like this, you know, like we did it on the show. Like I watched the video that got pulled and was the source of all this hot water. I watched it, but only watching, you know, that video on very low volume mm-hmm. while recording. Like, and again, I will say I stand by Disney's decision to distance himself because I don't think that joke was super funny.
Yeah, that's I was going to say. I also don't think it's funny.
You know, and I think we even mentioned it last week. Like, the whole point of that video series, the same with, like, the guy dressed as Jesus saying Hitler did nothing mm-hmm. wrong. Like, it was a piece of trying to show just how far these people will go for $5 on Fiverr.
Social commentary.
But to be fair, you have to put that into context of the reason he posted it was absolutely to shock the audience and get people talking of, hey, you need to watch this.
If he truly believed that
it was offensive, he wouldn't have aired it.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. he's just as guilty. However, with that said, he still has the right to say it. And mm-hmm. I really feel it's disrespectful of Disney to pull it after this when he said so many other things. I mean, he said controversial things before. Well, he has. I mean, like,
no,
okay,
I mean,
Disney doesn't want death to all Jews attached to Disney product.
Mm-hmm.
What about all the F words he throws out? What about all of the cursing?
There
is
a distinct difference between using swear words and advocating genocide of mm-hmm. a people who have been historically mistreated.
I agree with that, but is that not also inflammatory to the Disney brand?
Is what?
Vulgar language?
His usual show. Like, it is. Like, I'm not saying one's worse than the other.
Because
how is it?
Because you have other actors, like, appearing in Disney stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, yeah, they're child stars have contracts and, like, behavioral contracts and certain things they can and can't do. But, you know, if Disney signed, Childish Gambino, Donald Glover is going to voice Simba in the, remake of The Lion King. Look at his rap career.
But like, don't you think there's a difference if Disney hired him to be like a rapper? Or if Disney hired him to do a show associated through Disney, and on said show he said something terrible. To me, that's different than if they hired PewDiePie to come into...
This wasn't on the show that Disney...
But
this
was it's on his show. Like, it's on PewDiePie's show is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's just
like,
his YouTube channel.
If they had brought PewDiePie in strictly to just act as a character in a movie, to me, that's different than hiring the personality to be the personality. Because the personality is still on these other channels saying these terrible things that could still hurt Disney's reputation.
Is that what the scared PewDiePie thing was? Like, I know it's using the PewDiePie name, but I don't know if it's... But it seemed very much like what he said. Like, this seemed like it was a... I think this was a scripted show.
But it's not like he's a different character. They didn't bring PewDiePie in and go...
I haven't seen it.
But you also have to understand that there are audiences. Disney can understand that there are audiences for certain things. Disney has their TV show that's directed towards kids, and then they also do movies that is directed towards older people that can, that people don't see vulgar language as being very
shocking.
They have that. Okay, well, and so PewDiePie has his audience, and his audience doesn't necessarily expect to see something that says death to all Jews in it.
Why would PewDiePie's audience not expect to see something like that with as controversial as he is?
Because he's not historically that controversial? Yeah.
Well, there's a line, which is kind of what I was going to talk about in the next thing. It's just, doesn't it bug you when it's like, okay, you've done all this and that. Yeah. You would never hear his show on Disney. Ever.
No.
Ever.
You would never watch Atlanta on Disney. You would never hear Childish Gambino.
But again.
You wouldn't hear Sweatpants.
But they didn't hire Childish Gambino to come in and do a show about his music career. They hired Donald Glover to voice a character. But they're hiring PewDiePie to be PewDiePie. PewDiePie is still PewDiePie over there. People can find out what he said on his other shows. How is that not inflammatory to Disney?
Okay, so they didn't hire Donald Glover as the rapper. But they did hire Donald Glover as a comedian.
To play a character. But it wasn't the Donald Glover show.
But there's still... His name is still being put with Disney.
Well, that could be said about anybody. I mean,
yeah. So everyone's done that. Why is it... Why would it be...
I'm upset because they're acting like all of a sudden they saw this PewDiePie thing and went, oh my God, he might not be good for the brand. Have you never watched anything PewDiePie has done before?
I'm sure they have, but
so they knew what they were getting
into.
But
it's also part, but also like a part of this is the outrage that Wall Street Journal manufactured around him.
Exactly. Like if Wall Street Journal had never brought it to their attention. And also, do you not think there's probably someone that works with Disney that didn't see it? Surely they knew about it to begin with, but until someone brings it to the attention and goes, well, hey, and we're going to shine a spotlight on it, then suddenly it's a big deal.
It's like with the NFL and when Ray Rice knocked out his girlfriend. Rice wasn't fired until after the video got leaked to the public. The Ravens knew about it for weeks.
Hulk Hogan, you know, who did what he did, and until someone went to WWE and said, oh, look what happened, they went, oh, we don't stand for that.
Right.
But they still got the Sheik. Iron Sheik is still on the roster.
Warrior has an award named after him.
It's terrible. I get it. It's business. It's business. Yeah. But it still upsets me. And I don't like PewDiePie, first of all. Like, I don't find him entertaining. But that does not mean that I don't think he has a right to do his show. He absolutely has a right to do his show. And I hope this doesn't ruin his career.
I really don't think it will.
I hope not.
Like, this might hurt some of his mainstream popularity, but he has a very ingrained, following.
He has a cult following.
He really does.
He has a huge following. Well, I guess it's not a cult following.
And honestly,
he has a huge following.
And this has given him a lot of exposure. There are people watching. So I watched some of his stuff the other day, and I mean, excuse me,
it's not your cup of tea.
Yeah, it wasn't my cup of tea, but like, I mean, I see why people, especially because when you think PewDiePie, I'm pretty sure the majority of people who are like me who only know him from his Let's Plays and the over-the-top voice.
Yep.
But he's moved away from that in the last years. Like
He's turned into a real brand.
I think he still does like Let's Play stuff occasionally, but he's now an actual like considers himself a comedian. And
he's
an
entrepreneur too.
Yeah.
And I've seen – like I saw him on Good Mythical Morning.
Yeah.
And I find him out of character to be
him as Felix.
To be interesting and entertaining.
Yeah.
It's just like if you only watched Francis videos and you thought that's who Boogie was. Like it's all an act. You know, most of these guys, Markiplier, it's all turned to 11 to create a character. A lot of these guys are completely different when you talk to them normally. We're not.
I was going to say, luckily, Mr. 100 and the 5-star man are in no way exaggerated for entertainment value.
Except the only one thing I'll say is if you meet me in public, if you see me in public and you say something about the show, which has happened before, I am extremely quiet and reserved.
Yeah.
I am very private. But when you get me on the show, I'm a loudmouth.
You tend to be kind of like in social settings, you kind of tend to be a little bit more withdrawn.
Yes.
Like you're just like, all right, you're very introverted.
I am.
You're an extroverted introvert.
On the show.
Because I'm kind of the same way.
Yeah.
I think
we all are.
I had a couple people at work be like, oh, hey, I listened to one of your pro wrestling podcasts. It was one of the WrestleMania ones, or the last WrestleMania one, I guess. And I was like, oh, really?
You start sweating.
Oh, people I know actually listen to it that aren't like, that I'm not constantly like regularly talking to? That's weird. What?
When my girlfriend said her mom listened to one of the shows, ooh, I freaked out. That was bad. I got one other thing. This kind of ties into free speech, and we don't have a lot of time to talk about it, which is fine. There's not a lot to say, really. I just wanted to get your thoughts, and I got a couple thoughts of the people online.
I think PewDiePie is way more interesting than this guy.
I do and I don't, because all right, so I'm going to butcher his name. It's either
Who gives a hell? It's something Greek.
It's Milo or Milo. Yiannopoulos. You probably have heard about him in the news recently. He's kind of sort of a big deal. And I know you're going to go, why? I don't know.
No, he's a big deal because he's a huge deal to the alt-right.
Yeah. He's an author, and I took a lot of notes here, and I always hate notes mm-hmm. because if anyone's seen the notes, then they know I'm reading from the notes, you know, and it bothers me. He's an author and Breitbart editor, and he's on, and forgive the language, but this is what it's called, the Dangerous Faggot Speaking Tour. He's a British man. He's openly gay. So I guess if you're gay, you can say that word. You can say whatever you want. He had an appearance booked up for a CPAC or CPOC, whatever it's called, XPOC. It's a bit conservative thing. And they invited him to come on and talk about his struggles that he's had with speaking at universities and the protests. They shut him down. That's their excuse. What it is he's got publicity and they want publicity.
Yeah.
That's what it is. But he had an appearance of that and a book deal with Simon & Schuster canceled after what turned out to be allegedly pro-pedophilia comments. And this is kind of the same thing where they took part of what he said during this interview and chopped it up to maybe make it look worse than it really was. Although I don't understand how you can look worse when you're being pro-pedophilia. It was a conservative group called the Reagan Battalion released a video clip on Twitter. And if you wonder why we're talking about it, I'll get to it at the end. This is from the New York Times, straight from their site. In the tape, the fast talking polemicist.
I don't see the.
It's a word that I
can't
never,
see the word, so I don't
P-O-L-E-M-I-C-I-S-T.
Moving past.
It's a word that I just saw today for the first time and have had trouble pronouncing it. It's clear that he has no problem with older men abusing children as young as 13, which he then conflates with relationships between older and younger gay men who are of consenting age. He quotes, no, you're misunderstanding what pedophilia means. He says on the tape, which he's talking to radio hosts in a video chat, pedophilia is not a sexual attraction to somebody 13 years old who is sexually mature. Pedophilia is attraction to children who have not reached puberty, he adds, dismissing the fact that 13-year-olds are children. He also says the notion of consent is arbitrary and oppressive. At one point in the video, an unknown speaker says that the behavior being defended by Mr. Yiannopoulos is akin to molestation by Catholic priests. He responds in an ironic tone by crediting a priest for having helped develop a sexual technique. All right. Is it still free speech? He has a right to go on there and say these things, right?
I mean,
line.
Well, because it's free. The freedom of speech is one Congress can pass no law, and yeah. Slander, and hate speech, and I don't remember. There's like a third one that ties into the same. It's the same kind of category of right. Intentionally, inflammatory is not covered. So, I mean, yeah, you can say these things. Should you say these things? No.
And
so,
anyone that can be affected by what you're saying can say no more.
And I don't know
He got banned from Twitter.
And this kind, which he was banned from Twitter.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
It was like a year ago. Yeah, that's not a long time ago.
In the social media age, it's...
It was when Ghostbusters came out, and we talked about it before, like on a long old show, about how bad we felt for Leslie Jones.
Leslie Jones had to quit Twitter because of people like him.
Yeah, exactly. He had a speech at UC Berkeley that was canceled after violent protests.
And
I'm going
to
get...
Real briefly,
yeah.
Those violent protests that broke out, like the borderline riots, shame on you. Everyone who's involved to that incited violence and property damage. No, not
that's
okay.
Not if, because wasn't the, didn't this come from a university speech?
It was at Berkeley.
And there are much better ways to get a talk like that canceled. Just talk to any advisor or the president or whatever of the college.
Or protest.
Peaceful protest.
They're right, administrators, right? The people that bring these people in, don't destroy property.
Especially because this just feeds the alt-right, you know,
It makes him a martyr. And like, I don't say this like happily. Like I don't say this like I'm enjoying it. But he's basically a rock star at this point. He has fans that line up to see him. Mm-hmm. He dresses like a rock star because of the drama and all of this. It has made him a larger than life personality, which I hate the things he says. I got some more stuff here. In an interview last month with CNN, he said of the left wing college establishment, the ones that got him shut down at his speech at Berkeley, he said, I want to burn it down. I am speaking on college campuses because education is really what matters. It's a crucible where these bad ideas are formed, and ideas like progressive social justice, feminist, Black Lives Matter, I think is so cancerous and toxic to free expression. Do you think it is?
But if absolutely not. They're just cancerous to his idea of freedom of expression, which is white power.
And from CNN, in his campus talks, he spares few targets. He's gone after Black Lives Matter activists and has argued rape culture on campuses doesn't exist. He portrays white males as victims and views social justice as a form of cancer. He has said people become feminists because they are deeply physically unattractive. Obviously, what he's saying, like, I said this to you guys before the show, and let me once again state that I find what he says awful, irreprehensible. Mm-hmm. I would in no way say that I want to hear that. I watched Morning Joe today, and this is what got me the idea. The guy that leads this CPAC, the chairman, was on, and he said that he invited him on there because he feels that people have a right to listen to everything, and they can form their own opinions on it. So is there a spot for someone like this in the world to come on, and should we just silence them and say, we don't want to hear what you have to say, go away? Or should people be allowed to hear this stuff and form their own opinion on it?
I mean,
you remember Brother Jed?
This is my problem with, well, and so Brother Jed, real quick.
Because this is what kind of reminds me of.
For those non-local listeners who know, there was a preacher, minister, whatever you want to call him.
And by the way, before you say that, I didn't know this. He is worldwide. Like, he's United States. He travels. So you may have heard of him.
He goes to universities, and to their free speech corners, and he proclaims gays are going to hell, women are going to hell for being on campus, all of these
calls them whores, sluts.
Yeah, all of these hateful, insightful things, that without a doubt draw a crowd and are, people are shouting him down. They're trying to, you know, they're turning him away. They're trying to shut him up. Basically, but he is a character actor. He believes that through this sort of inciting rhetoric that he can open up communication to what the true message of Jesus Christ would be, which is love and acceptance. And he's just trying to be the devil's advocate, but he's a pastor. Like,
it's complicated.
It's dumb. And whether or not you agree that that sort of inflammatory evangelical that one ism added to it, words are hard.
Yes,
but I learned how to say Los Ingobernales.
Can you after like, the show? Can you tackle this polemicius? God, whatever. Doesn't matter.
But the debate then. But you're still saying these hateful things. You're still saying these hurtful things. Does that make it okay because your intentions are good, even though this character that you're portraying, because he's not like that. Like,
I've never talked to Brother Jed. I've met him once. And when I met him, he was very much in, if he's a character, he was in full character mode. I was with Mimi.
Lee had dinner with him. Like,
really?
Because I think his family had like dinner with him. Or was friends of his family.
That is interesting.
Yeah. And so it's this act. Right. That, you know, but then again, the problem with that is you risk fueling the people who truly believe this thing to be true, Westboro Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this certain, like the guy that just got arrested because he looked up to Dylann Roof as a hero.
Yeah. He was going to do a similar.
He was going to do a similar. Yeah. So, you know, it's on the one hand, yeah, you know, people do have people, while I just adamantly disagree with everything that comes out of his mouth.
Yeah.
I do think people have a right to hear it, but then they also have the right to non-physically, non-violently, like
protest
and respond to it turn. And the problem is whenever people who are using his sort of rhetoric and him as an example, mm-hmm. who then, oh, well, pedophilia is okay if the kid's hot.
Well, you know, and he is a child. I'm sorry, Ali. Let me just, one quick thing. He says he's a child victim, child abuse victim himself. Mm-hmm. And in his, apology, cause he did put down an apology, he said he thought because he had done that, he had the right to say whatever about it, no matter how outrageous it is. And I get, he does. He has the right to say everything. But again, like Ali said about Disney, when you say things like that, you have to expect consequences. Mm-hmm. What upsets me about this.
Real quick, before you get into that, what was you going to say?
I was going to say that, thank you, Asa, that
sorry.
Whenever you are put into positions like this where you have a big audience, large audiences that listen to you, it is kind of a personal responsibility that you take on to put in more positive outlooks, to share things that are going to be positive for the world, not negative. Well, people have the right to hear
but
these things.
But isn't that a point of view? His point of view is that Black Lives Matter is negative. I'm not saying he's right. Don't misunderstand me.
Okay, so if that's his point of view, and then the people that would be accepting and putting it out there, saying that no, people deserve to hear this. This would be more for them because they have the, they're giving this person their outreach. This is, you have a responsibility when you're giving these people this outreach to put out there what would be positive in the world. And,
but again, isn't the point of college? And I think, and this is the part that confuses me about him, because I almost feel like he's a character. And his argument is that these colleges and these people, that they take away free speech, that it's so, the PC culture is so overprotective and shielding that we stop people that say bad things from appearing because we're afraid of how it will damage people. But isn't college supposed to be a place where people come together to share ideas, no matter how unpopular they might be?
Yes, you go to college to share ideas, learn different perspectives, but you're also very respectful of these different ideas. You're supposed to be. And yeah, that's a different point of view, but some of those point of views directly go against someone else's well-being.
But he doesn't advocate violence. He says his piece. He says,
well, no, pedophilia isn't whenever, well, you know, he's developed 13.
To be fair,
isn't a thing in colleges.
I'm not saying I agree with it, but did he say go rape somebody?
No, but he's saying it's okay.
He didn't say it was okay. He said that saying he didn't believe it exists.
Saying it doesn't exist just says so. No, so whatever I just take from someone is okay.
And I don't agree with that. But again, this is supposed to be the area where people can share their ideas, whether it's good or bad or otherwise. And then people form their opinions on things like that and go, that's ridiculous.
This is the part of the show where you need to really
point out that
you were playing devil's advocate.
That I'm playing devil's advocate. One, I believe it's ridiculous. Of course rape culture exists. Of course that's terrible. Absolutely. But I'm trying to get myself inside of his head. His argument is that colleges and places like this, they stop free speech. And then when something happens, like he goes to give a speech and there are violent protests to stop him, it just makes him look right. And that's terrible.
And,
that's dangerous.
And that's why the people who violently reacted to that are abhorrent and shameful. Yeah. That's not the correct way to do it.
This isn't the first time but that someone has said hateful things. This isn't the first person that's gone into a public area and said things that were untrue and hateful. But we don't respond by shutting them down completely. We point out the problems with their argument and we tell people of why they're wrong. The moment you silence people from saying what they want to say, it just makes it look like you're trying to hide what they're trying to say. And then some people take that as you hiding it because it's true.
Part of it I agree with, but not fully, just because like the, whenever you
can. It's
that
human complex
thing again. It is. But when you give a legitimate reason for why this is being shut down, if you can have peaceful protests that say this is, you say that rape culture doesn't exist, and then you present the facts of actual statistics that have been taken.
Which prove that it exists.
That it does exist.
Yes.
Then you say that other kind of outlandish claims that he makes. If you can present that, battle it with actual facts, which people like Donald Trump are constantly trying to undermine, and then you can even lead like, oh, hey, so just so you know, where you go and you say these things, we see an uptick in certain behaviors.
Right.
Then you're at the point where you're kind of crossing into, and what I said earlier, at a certain point, you have to kind of look at what can be considered hate speech.
Right.
And insightful and slanderous.
Yeah. Insightful, I-N-C-I-T-E.
Yes.
Yes. I think that's important.
Inciting. Inciting a riot.
My other problem with this, and this kind of goes back to what I said about PewDiePie, but way more truthful about this, is the CPOC. That canceled his appearance based on his pedophilia comments. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, it's over the line. It is. But wasn't the line, and we said this in a message earlier to each other, mm-hmm. shouldn't the line have been drawn a long time ago?
Yeah, but not for the alt-right. That's very well within the right.
The same guy who said that he was taking away the invitation, mm-hmm. when they asked him, what do you think about the alt-right? He says, it's terrible. People shouldn't listen to it. I warn our conservatives to stay away from it, that they don't fully understand it, and it's an awful thing. But then you invite
the guy who
is a champion of the alt-right and a Breitbart editor to come on and
talk. Not anymore. He resigned.
Did he really?
He resigned earlier today. So now he is a visa-holding immigrant who's unemployed.
You know who he was.
Get Trump on the phone.
You know who he was when you decided to let him come on and say the things he's going to say, which I, again, completely disagree with. I want to make that clear. The fact that he said that he himself had an older lover when he was younger and that it helped him grow, him saying that should not have been the thing that got him taken off. The things he said before about rape culture being fake, that feminists are deeply physically unattractive and that's why that way. There's no reason to give him a platform. Like, I don't agree with shutting him down with violent protests, but you also don't have to give him the spotlight, which we are now.
And at the same time though, like, and this is where it sounds like we're just going to flip. I do think, like, if you give him the platform, but the dissenting voices are louder and more clear and shut it down peacefully or show that no, that kind of speech is not okay here. And this is why. You can't just be like, la, 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 we hate you, or start breaking stuff and hurting people, because again, no, that's the kind of thing that people love to point out, like, oh, well, liberals will riot, they will, you know, they're, all of the social justice warriors are easily offended. It's like, no.
The precious snowflakes.
Yeah. Oh.
I hate that term. Uh-huh. I hate that term.
No, I love it just because then I actually got blocked by a friend, a guy I knew growing up, because I was like, oh man, all these, precious snowflake Republicans getting upset at, One of my high school teachers was very neutral growing up. He was incredibly neutral, incredibly fair. And he, since retirement, has kind of let his more liberal leaning show, which very much upset a person who felt the need to go onto his Facebook wall and
call
how dare you show your political leanings on your Facebook page? You were friends with a bunch of students and
not current students.
It's like because he doesn't have any.
Yeah, well, I was like,
it's because he disagreed.
And so,
with
it was
the
like,
message.
Oh man, yeah. the precious snowflake seems like he needs a safe space to hear just the go to Breitbart comment section. Yeah,
I saw someone that was like, oh, look at all these precious snowflakes buying guns and building walls.
I want to say
that wall.
Can I just say right now, I think it's important. We said this during the Trump stuff, and I want to still say it's right now. Not all conservatives think that way.
No.
Not all conservatives will take.
It's the party line system. There are people on the right who just blindly follow whatever that is, whether it's Trump or Bush or whatever. But there's also the people on the left who will just blindly follow their party lines, like Cory Booker, who was very much looked like he was trying to ramp up to a presidential run possibly. But then he takes this handout from pharmaceuticals and votes against affordable prescription medicines.
Yeah.
I know it's hard and it's so much easier just to check the one box, but you gotta do research. You gotta put the effort in. You have to form your own opinion.
Which is why I really want to get Tanner on to talk about.
I lean towards the left pretty heavily. There are Republican candidates who I will vote for.
Yeah.
There are Democrat candidates that I will vote for. It's just the system, and not just the voters. It's the politicians themselves. Going back to what we talked about, John McCain.
Yeah.
John McCain is very outspoken about how much he dislikes President Trump, but he's so afraid to vote against the party lines that he sells out his
morality.
Yeah.
For his spot.
So it's just, you know, it's. And that's what I think this whole anti-intellectualism that's happening now, fake news, false stats. No, trust us. Sweden and Bowling Green and Atlanta were bloodbaths. We need to prevent that from happening again.
I forget, you know, we covered Paris. We've covered the two Muslims that were going to shoot the art exhibit, making fun of the Prophet Muhammad.
And Charlie Hebdo?
How stupid that was.
Pulse, Orlando.
Pulse. I want to apologize now that we did not cover Bowling Green.
Yeah.
You know.
We dropped the ball.
We dropped the ball, and I pride myself on being a journalist, and I want to apologize. I hope you came out of this with something to think about. Mm-hmm. That's the goal of these serious shows. We got a couple of comments.
And just to tie back something you said earlier, like, I will gladly give up my seat on the Tuesday show next week if that night works for Tanner to do that show.
I would absolutely love for you to be here.
Because I love Tanner. I do. And it was almost hard to watch, like, the conflict that he had, like, where he was talking to us because he knew we wouldn't judge him.
Right.
About, like, you know, he's a diehard Republican. He's been Republican all his life. His family's Republican. His friends are Republican. But he just, his morals wouldn't let him vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And like that kind of mindset really, it kind of blew my mind. Just like, cause I've never had that sort of identification with a political party either way.
Yeah.
So just seeing that and like that kind of turmoil and now seeing his friends and family attack him for him just sharing his opinion,
right.
Which is not insightful, which is not, insightful again, INCITE.
Right. Yeah, he's done it. Well,
it's
that's
not inflammatory. That's the word I just need to start using.
He's done it so – he's tried to do it so eloquently and professionally.
And he has. And again, that's why I just feel like I'm going to – I don't want to upset him or his family by right. then just mashing the keyboard because I can't deal with this anymore.
Yeah, you yeah. It's really, my God, you really have to. We talk about it so much on the show, and I know a lot of people that have said, why do you guys get so serious now? You used to be so much, you used to be fun every week. You used to be joking topics. Oh, believe me, topics.
I miss it too.
Yeah.
And this is why. Like, Donald Trump has now consumed almost every aspect of my life.
Yeah.
I see him on Facebook. I see him on Twitter. I see him on Reddit. I see him on
TV,
on media, on YouTube. And it's like, okay. And then, like, well, I'll talk to my friends about John Wick 2. Oh, hey, Donald Trump did a thing. I see it in my group chats. I see it in, like, wrestling. I see everything. It's just, he's invaded everything. And then I used to have just this nice little hour where we could talk about Batman versus Punisher, which, holy crap, that episode is a year old.
I know, that I shared it that day.
That freaks me out.
But amazing episode.
Yeah.
It was great.
But here we are talking about this for an hour.
And then it's like, and so now it's in the shows. Like, Nerd Up is my one last bastion. I swear, if he goes after the nerds,
the nerd like, politics,
he's gonna cancel Batman, or he's like, no, Marvel shut down.
Here's what you have my promise on. You have my promise that this will not be the trend going forward with the Tuesday show. I would like to make the
You were gonna say you're gonna make the Tuesday show great again.
Funny again is what funny. I was gonna say. I want it to be fun. I want to do this weekend show. And I kind of had what if I called it half hour headline? And I'll just do a show for 30 minutes.
Well, you need to bleep that out because that's an amazing name.
You like that?
I do.
Ooh, all right, we might go with that. But I'd like to go back because we had so much fun talking about Punisher. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys did because you two and Ethan jumped in.
We were talking about Batman.
So, it won't be like this forever. I promise. It's just you can't ignore this stuff.
And I completely understand that. And I don't want to be the kind of person that just, will turn the blind eye like
Lindsay. I mean, I love Lindsay, but she does. She doesn't want to hear it because she buries her head because she can't do anything about it.
Right.
And that's
the thing is it's like we try to come on here and I know I will own up to this. I'm bad about not being inflammatory towards the right and especially the alt-right because that is not how you change people's minds. You don't, you don't do it through insulting them and like.
Apparently you do.
But it's so easy to do like and just, it's so frustrating that it's easy to just lash out.
But isn't that the problem with, and this could be a whole other show, but isn't that the problem with the left wing right now is that the right is so loud and obnoxious in your face and slapping them around and saying, you're wrong, you're a little bitch. Mm-hmm. And the left is still trying to compose themselves, go like, well, let's talk about facts.
And I kind of disagree with that.
You don't think that's true?
I don't only because like, look, using the term snowflakes, both sides use it. Mm-hmm. It's just as hateful and divisive and vitriolic. And again, I know I'm saying this as someone who contributes to it and is going to actively try not to. But Pete Holmes was on the Nerdist podcast and they bring up an amazing point that when someone feels like they have the moral high ground, it's easy to, okay, gloves are coming off. This is how it's going to be. And we're at a time where both sides believe they have the moral high ground.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So it's just ugly and divisive and terrible. And
I can't think of a single time in my life, and I'm a little older than you guys. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a single time in my life where I've seen the country so divided.
And I think I think that just comes with social media too.
It does.
Because,
everyone's got an opinion out there now.
I remember the Obama-McCain election and just being blown away at how divisive Facebook was. I never knew – like my friends – I never really talked politics with my friends, but granted this was my freshman, sophomore year of college. Mm-hmm. Like high school, it didn't really matter. My freshman year, no one really gave a crap. None of us could vote, so –
Yeah.
You knew what your parents were. Some people were very much, already kind of going down their Democratic or Republican leanings because their family was so involved in it.
Yeah.
I remember that first election just being like, oh wow, this is a big deal and it's not great, but it was nowhere near where we're at now.
The vitriol with this election and this presidency. And sometimes you wonder, is it completely fair? Like, is it completely fair? Clearly he's a terrible president. Clearly he's a terrible speaker, but should it be as overblown as it is?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know because I can't tell the difference on whether I'm talking about this so much because it's important to me or because I've been told so much that it should be important to me that I feel like I have to talk about it.
Right.
I don't know if I should be criticizing him as much as I am or if I should just wait and see what happens and, definitely pay attention to it, but maybe not spend so many hours of my week watching videos and reading documents and like, I mean, what am I going
to
do about it?
And it's important to stay informed. And, you know, I really think like, depending on how you go forward with, you know, if you do the weekend show and it is, you know, if you can keep it as unbiased, divisive, you know, like I said, like, you know, we typically kind of go with insults and you say that it was because we were bashing Trump. Is why Tanner quit the show. It really was just because he knew so many people who were supporters of Trump because of their whole ingrained Republican ideals.
And
that's what really kind of bugged Tanner.
Yeah.
I understand that.
And not only that, but the fact that, especially during the election and before the election,
we were very critical of Trump and his supporters.
His supporters. We insulted them. We called them idiots. We called them brain dead. Jesse called them brain dead hillbillies on more than one occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see why Tanner would be upset at that, because he has family and friends who are big supporters of this guy. And even though he might not agree with it, for us to say, hey, your family are brain dead morons and they deserve to die. I said once that Trump supporters should die.
And that was the one that.
Yeah.
That was the.
And, you know, maturity and hindsight, because.
And it's heat of the moment. You know, those shows we get so worked up.
But it was a terrible thing to say.
Yeah.
It was a terrible thing to say.
And that's why I kind of wanted, like, and not to, as an out, to stop having to talk about this, because during the election, I hated it. I just would tune out.
You didn't want
to
talk about it at all.
At all.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where, you know, it's because it's so easy to get heated and emotional.
Right.
And then you lash out against people who really have done nothing wrong.
They don't deserve it.
Yeah. And they don't. And so, like, that's kind of. I've realized that like a couple weeks ago too, but it's just so easy to get caught up in the emotion of it. And just when you feel like you see something so wrong and so oppressive and so scary.
And you can't understand why no one else sees it. You can't understand why someone you know that's intelligent doesn't go, well, this is terrible.
Right.
Like, how do you not see what I'm seeing?
Yeah.
Like, how can you be so devoted to your party line that you don't see the clear injustice of what's happening?
Right. And so, and the way to reach them is not through, you idiot.
You're right.
You moron. Yeah, so that's something I'm going to work on going forward.
I think we grew up a little bit today.
Someone's going to like smash cut this to some terrible thing we were saying about them just from like an hour ago.
Brain dead hillbillies, all of them. That'll be the story.
Ethan Klein is a known anti-Semite. Death to Jews.
we have to get out of here. We're about 10 minutes over, and I actually have a lot of comments, not only on my page, but on another page that I posted on. A friend of mine, Michael McDowell, who I've referenced on the show before. I've got too many to go through. There's a lot of great feedback. I want to thank you guys for telling us about it. If you want to see it, you can go to my Facebook page and look at my status. Also, Michael McDowell, you can find him through my friends list. Go check him out, because he's a very smart man who very opinionated, and I like talking to him about it. But he did, one person on his page said something that I want to say, and I'll end the show with that. It's a Christopher Conan, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He posted a quote from John Stuart Mill on Liberty from 1859, and this was in reference to my question about Milo Yiannopoulos. Of, is this free speech? Should we stop people from saying these things because we disagree with it? Or should we allow people to hear the worst of the worst and let them form their own opinion? John Stuart Mill said this: the peculiar evil of silencing the expression of an opinion is that it is robbing the human race, posterity as well as the existing generation, those who dissent from the opinion, still more than those who hold it. If the opinion is right, they are deprived of the opportunity of exchanging error for truth. If wrong, they lose what is almost as great as a benefit, the clearer perception and livelier impression of truth produced by its collision with error. Which, if you can just decipher that, basically saying
it's all them fancy old
words. The fancy words, but I think that is don't stop people from saying stupid things, because when they say it, they expose themselves, and you don't want to rob people of seeing that exposure.
And I understand that, and I admire that. It's just, it feels like we're in a point where there's just like kind of a shamelessness to it, where you know, you may be wrong. But, yeah, that guy, he gets it.
Yeah.
And it just kind of then bolsters the opinions of what probably thoughts that should, you know, should just stay inside your little head.
And it only takes one person. Remember the Aurora shooter who shot up the theater, Dylan Roof, you know, all these people. It only takes one person for you to influence with something so terrible to cause harm and tragedy to countless people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Think about that tonight. Think about a lot of things. We got to get out of here.
Go see John Wick 2.
Go see John Wick 2. See The Great Wall if you can. It was good. We're going to be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted. And we say this every week, Asa, but a pretty big week. Not quite
sad as... Sad week.
It's a very sad week. So many deaths to talk about this week.
Three new ones on top of Chavo Classic that we talked about last week.
Yeah. We're going to talk about all that tomorrow. I want to thank you guys for listening, for Asa, for Allie, and for myself. Thank you for indulging us for this hour and 15 minutes of... rambling, but coherent rambling.
We hope so.
We hope so. Thank you, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night, and God bless you.